Hello, I'm Sebastian. Welcome to Nine Nartrees podcast. Today I will summarize and review the book. The Culture Playbook 60, Highly Effective Actions to Help Your Group Succeed, is a concise leadership and team development guide by Daniel Coyle. The New York Times best-selling author of The Culture Code and The Talent Code, rather than presenting culture as an abstract organizational ideal, the book treats it as a set of repeatable behaviors that groups can practice. Drawing on Coyle's research into high-performing teams, it organizes practical guidance around three recurring cultural skills: safety, vulnerability, and purpose. The book is designed as a playbook, not a conventional theory-heavy business text, and its 60 actions include exercises, conversations, and rituals that can be adapted by companies, sports teams, schools, families, and remote or hybrid groups. Its purpose is to help leaders and members diagnose the quality of their group interactions, strengthen trust, surface problems earlier, and keep shared goals visible in everyday work. I will give you key takeaways from this book. Firstly, psychological safety as the foundation of group performance. One of the central ideas in the Culture Playbook is that strong groups begin by creating safety. Coyle treats safety not as comfort or lack of accountability, but as a repeated signal that members belong, are noticed, and can contribute without fearing humiliation or exclusion. This matters because groups do not perform well simply because talented people are placed together. They perform well when information moves freely, when members ask for help early, and when small misunderstandings do not harden into defensive patterns. The book translates this principle into practical actions that leaders and teammates can use to make connection more visible, such as regular check-ins, explicit attention to team dynamics, and intentional spaces for people to interact beyond transactional work. The reasoning is concrete. If people feel socially threatened, they conserve energy, hide uncertainty, and avoid risks. If they feel safe, they are more likely to share useful information, admit confusion, and coordinate under pressure. Coyle's approach is valuable because it frames safety as something built through small, observable behaviors rather than through slogans or value statements. Secondly, shared vulnerability as a mechanism for building trust. The book argues that vulnerability is not a sign of weak leadership, but a practical mechanism through which trust develops. Coyle's framework distinguishes between trust as a vague emotional condition and trust as a pattern created when people reveal limits, ask for input, and respond constructively to one another. In many teams, members try to project certainty, especially when stakes are high. The result can be shallow harmony, hidden anxiety, and delayed problem solving. The Culture Playbook recommends practices that normalize admitting uncertainty and discussing pressure points, including exercises such as anxiety parties, where worries are surfaced and converted into shared problem-solving material. The value of these practices lies in changing the social meaning of weakness. When a leader or teammate responsibly names a concern, the group receives permission to move from image management to coordination. This does not mean oversharing or abandoning standards. It means making useful vulnerability acceptable, especially when silence would be more damaging. Coyle's contribution is to show that trust is not created after perfect performance. It is often created through honest interaction before performance improves. Thirdly, purpose made visible through repeated signals and actions. Purpose is the third major skill in Coyle's model, and the book presents it as more than a mission statement. A group can have an impressive stated goal and still drift if members do not encounter that goal in daily choices, language, and priorities. The Culture Playbook emphasizes that purpose must be repeatedly clarified and reinforced so people understand what the group values, what trade-offs matter, and how individual effort connects to collective outcomes. This is especially important in complex organizations, where people may be busy but not aligned. Coyle's practical orientation encourages teams to identify and repeat simple cues that point members back to the shared aim. These cues can include explicit discussions of priorities, reflection on what behaviors support the mission, and routines that connect present work to longer-term identity. The reasoning is that purpose reduces ambiguity. When people know what the group is trying to become and what behaviors are rewarded, they can make faster decisions without waiting for constant instruction. The book stands out by treating purpose as a living coordination tool rather than a decorative statement on a wall. Fourthly, team tune-ups turn culture into an ongoing maintenance practice. A distinctive feature of the Culture Playbook is its emphasis on recurring maintenance rather than one-time transformation. Coyle recommends team tune-ups as a way to make the group's inner workings discussable before problems become entrenched. This idea is important because culture often operates invisibly. Teams may talk about tasks, deadlines, and results, while avoiding the communication patterns, tensions, or assumptions that shape those results. A tune-up creates an explicit setting for asking how the group is functioning, what is helping collaboration, and what needs adjustment. The value is not only in identifying problems, it is in creating a norm that the quality of interaction deserves attention. This separates the book from leadership advice that focuses mainly on charisma or vision. Coyle is more interested in the routines that keep a group healthy over time. Regular reflection also prevents culture from becoming dependent on a single leader. When members learn to inspect and improve their own patterns, the group develops a stronger capacity for self-correction. In this sense, culture becomes less like a fixed personality and more like a system of habits that can be repaired, practiced, and refined. Lastly, practical exercises adapt culture building to remote and varied groups. The culture playbook is positioned for a wide range of groups, and one of its practical strengths is its attention to different working conditions, including remote and hybrid teams. Culture building becomes harder when people do not share the same physical space, because many informal signals of belonging and coordination disappear. Coyle's guidance addresses this by encouraging deliberate spaces for connection among remote coworkers, rather than assuming that technology alone creates teamwork. The broader implication is that culture is not tied to a particular office layout or organizational type. Companies, athletic teams, schools, and families can all benefit from practices that clarify belonging, surface vulnerability, and reinforce purpose, though each must adapt the exercises to its own setting. This flexibility is also a limitation that readers should use carefully. A playbook provides prompts and structures, but it cannot substitute for judgment, consistency, or attention to local context. A poorly timed exercise may feel artificial if leaders do not model the behaviors they request from others. The book's usefulness, therefore, depends on treating its actions as repeatable experiments, not as scripts that automatically produce trust. In conclusion, the Culture Playbook is best suited for leaders, managers, coaches, educators, team members, and facilitators who want practical ways to improve group behavior without relying on vague culture language. Readers looking for an academic theory of organizations may find it relatively compact, but those responsible for real teams will benefit from its concrete exercises and clear organizing framework. Its main practical benefit is that it gives groups a shared vocabulary for discussing safety, vulnerability, and purpose, then links that vocabulary to actions such as team tune-ups, pressure relief conversations, and remote connection practices. Intellectually, the book encourages readers to see culture as a pattern of signals and habits rather than as personality, morale, or branding. Compared with many leadership books, it stands out because it is designed for immediate use. It does not simply argue that trust matters. It offers ways to practice the behaviors that allow trust to emerge. It also differentiates itself from broad business strategy books by focusing on the micro behaviors that shape everyday cooperation. The book is especially valuable for groups that already understand the importance of culture, but need a practical structure for maintaining it. Its strongest contribution is turning Coyle's larger research on high-performing groups into a manageable set of repeatable actions. And if you would like to support Daniel Coyle, you can buy the book through the Amazon link I provided in the podcast description. After reading the book, please let me know what you think and share your thoughts. See you around.